Okay, so good evening, everyone. This is our Tuesday, March 31st, 2020, regular city council meeting. And I will we'll start. I think we should do this anyway, even though we're all virtual. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Councilmember Eisenman will lead us in that.
Please join me to the flag. I pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States
of America. And to the Republic, for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Lizette, roll call, please.
Councilmember Blake.
Here.
Councilmember Eisenman.
Here.
Councilmember Kemp.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Dictorow.
Here.
And Mayor Whalen.
Here. Thank you, Lizette. Gavin, I'll turn it over to you at this time. If you could please describe the electronic procedure here we're trying to follow this evening.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll try to do that as best as I can. So for people who are viewing the meeting tonight on Cox Cable Channel 852 and online on the city website, and there are many of you already calling in, we are trying a new feature. We're trying Zoom service. So if you want to listen to the meeting and comment over the phone during designated public comment periods, the phone number to call is 669-900-9128, and then wait for instructions to dial a meeting ID of 998-209-353. And I'll give that phone number again. It's 669-900-9128. Or with a meeting ID of 998-209-353. If you're going and using a computer, you can just go to Zoom, just type in Zoom into Google search and go to the website and put in that same meeting ID and you can join the meeting via computer. Again, the meeting ID is 998-209-353. And if you want to comment by phone, you can press *9. So if you're calling over the phone, press *9 and it will tell me that you want to speak on a particular or on the item. So *9 on the phone. If you're on a computer, you can just raise your hand and then let me know during that time that you want to speak on the item. And so also tonight, you can still submit comments on an agenda item by email. You can email the city clerk, at cityclerk@lagunabeachcity.net. And thank you. That ends my presentation.
Okay. Thank you, Gavin. All right. At this point, we're going to have public communications by any item regarding any item not on the agenda. And at this point, I'm going to pause for a minute because people can, as Gavin just described, either dial in or indicate via Zoom, raise your hand, so to speak, on the Zoom platform, indicating that you have a public comment on any item not on the agenda. And we'll just wait 1 minute on that. And Gavin, at the end of the minute, if you could just tell me how many people have indicated a desire to speak.
Sure. So if you're interested in speaking, if you click *9, it'll raise your hand for me and I'll let all know if you want to speak during public comment.
Anybody queued up?
We have three people who would like to speak.
Okay. We'll take them in order. Please, as we do at a typical council meeting, if you wouldn't mind giving us your name, and then I would ask that you keep your comments to 2 minutes. So Gavin, go ahead and start that process.
Hi, this is Kavita Reddy. I hope everyone can hear me.
We can. We can.
Okay, thank you. I first of all wanted to thank you for trying this through conference call. I think it gives us some sense of normalcy in this crazy time. I just have a quick question. I wanted to know if you are planning to restart the Planning Commission and Design Review and Heritage Committee meetings in the same manner anytime soon. That's it. Thank you.
The city manager will address that when he gives his comments. Thanks, Kavita. Next speaker.
Hi, this is Michelle Monda. I have previously written to the City Council imploring you to eliminate any non-essential city spending immediately. Residents supply approximately 70% of city revenue, which is a fixed revenue and can be counted on for paying our bills now. However, tourists account for up to 30% of revenue, and if they're not coming to Laguna because of the virus, we need to shave that amount off our expenses. We need to reduce our budgeted expenditures by that 30%. I suggest we put a hiring freeze in place, do not replace employees leaving, and most importantly, stop all consultants and studies. Now is the time to have the heads of departments assess where they can reduce expenses by 30% immediately. That's what businesses do when there's a downturn. Now the city needs to put into practice what every well-run business does. Laguna is still responsible for pensions, payroll, and fixed costs. Let's look at the non-fixed costs and cut them. 30% needs to be cut. Please get the ball rolling now.
Thank you, Michelle. We're going to have an item on that on our next agenda on that topic. All right. City Clerk did receive several public communications beforehand. There were, Lizette, would you please just briefly summarize those?
Sure. Michelle Heiberg sent in a comment saying, in response to the letter to citizens, may this subject line item please be on the City Council agenda. Data shows that this bug is more contagious than our worst pandemic in 1918. Spread rate per infected person of 2.2 versus 1.9, mortality rate is 3 to 4 times worse. And then she placed a web page on how coronavirus compares to the 1918 flu, H1N1, and other pandemics. And she said, there are hundreds of other essential workers in contact with our residents. Can the City of Laguna Beach please enforce face masks and gloves on all essential workers? And that was her. And Cinnamon Mundy said, please open the tennis courts. I live above the high school, and during the crowded times, tennis courts remain used with optimal social distancing. With signs up to indicate only 1 to 2 people per court, this seems very reasonable and respectful to residents for a safe way to be outside. Track field is being used this way, and no tourists use the track or the tennis courts. Mark Rocco, he said, please allow Laguna Beach residents to access trailheads from Laguna Beach. MJ, she sent in a letter and said, I was told recently a resident felt victimized at the podium the last time she attended a council meeting for a simple community-related request that she is afraid to attend city council meetings for a simple community-related item. This is disturbing. I realize that COVID-19 has temporarily shut down our personal appearance civic engagement opportunity at City Hall, but I hope that this type of constituent concern has been addressed and will not be tolerated. Residents' rights to be heard by their elected officials should be protected. Apparently, at the close of March 17, City Council meeting, Councilmember Blake made more derogatory remarks about the intent and motives of Laguna Beach residents who actively participate in their city government. She said, thank you to other council members and the city staff for getting the system in place to get the public's input and feedback on city business and operations. And Michelle, you read yours. And Michael Morris, I believe, was online. He said COVID-19 shut down of our economy bodies ill for the city's fiscal year 2021 revenues. Certainly, TOT and sales tax revenues will decrease substantially. The city should put a hold on discretionary spending, even things included in the $5.6 million general fund mid-year savings, just approved at the February 25, 2020 mid-year budget update city council meeting. Our TOT and sales taxes currently make up about 20% of the city's budget. Assuming these items decrease 90% for the remaining three quarters of the year, we can expect a loss of about $13.5 million. Another $6.5 million comes from parking fees, which will also decrease similarly. Likewise, the annual returns we can anticipate for PERS system will be in negative territory, meaning that cities' unfunded pension liabilities will increase dramatically. All of these negative fiscal indicators point to a need for our city to tighten its belt immediately. please freeze discretionary spending for a while, including expenditures on the downtown action plan, parking structure studies, library acquisition, no new consultants, and definitely no new hires. That is it that I've received.
Okay, thank you, Lizette. I'd like to, we'll go to public, we'll go to staff. There are no other public comments, right? I think I'm going to close the public hearing on that. Gavin, unless there's anything.
Mayor, this is John. We've been having some trouble getting the city attorney to get his microphone working. Gavin, is Phil unmuted from your end?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Well, we had Phil for a moment. Let's try again.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I've got you, Phil. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, everyone. Prior to the open session, this city council met in closed session, and I have two announcements to make with regard to that. The first is by unanimous vote, finding a need to take action that arose since the time of the posting of the agenda, the city council added one item of business to its closed session agenda, that being a matter of pending litigation entitled City of Laguna Beach versus County of Orange. It is Sacramento County Superior Court, case number 34-2019-8000-3153. There was no reportable action taken with regard to the discussion that took place on that case. The second announcement is that in the course of its closed session discussion on another item, the City Council voted unanimously 5-0 to close the farmers market during the month of April and to revisit that decision as to reopening of the market at a later time. That concludes my report, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Lizette, anything to from your side?
No. I have one comment that was sent by email. Should I just send that out to the council via paper? I mean, via computer, or you want me to read it real quick?
What was it, a public comment?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
I'm writing to notify you of a noise complaint that I've been living with since November, coming from the house construction at 450 Cliff Drive. So to summarize it, she's being disturbed by some construction going on with loud construction workers at 450 Cliff Drive.
Okay.
And that's it.
Thank you for that. Okay.
John
Pfeig, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. I will try to address some of the public comments. I want to give kind of an overview of a number of things that's been going on. Hopefully that will answer a lot of the questions. In particular, before I forget the noise complaint on 450 Cliff Drive, I'm assuming the Director of Community Development is on the call, and we'll look into that, and I'll follow up with him on that in the next couple of days as well. Again, thank everybody for your patience regarding this new Zoom system. We'll work out the kinks, and hopefully this will allow us to conduct governance in the future. And so we appreciate everybody giving it a try tonight. Just some general comments. We did have the county release some COVID positive numbers yesterday. The City of Laguna Beach's number was 22. It stayed the same today. I think that's because the additional testing that occurred on Monday won't be reported until later in the week. And I think a lot of the medical agencies were not doing testing over the weekend. So I do expect those figures to go up. We have to be careful in interpreting those figures. One, we don't know that testing is being done on a proportional basis in other cities throughout the county. The other thing is the test results themselves don't really identify where somebody may have acquired the virus. If anything, it does, I think, support the actions that the City Council has taken to date to try and protect the community and prevent the transmission of COVID-19. I think the actions are important. I think that the worst is still yet to come. So if we look at the figures from that point of view, I think there are a few things we can draw from them, but we have to be careful to try and give them too much emphasis as we go forward because they're just not being applied on a consistent basis, but yet they are a source of information. Some questions about what the city is doing. We are going to continue the closures of City Hall, the beaches, the beach parks, the trailheads, the athletic fields, the trolleys, at least through the month of April, in response to the information that we're seeing and to break the transmission of COVID-19. The City Council, of course, will have the opportunity to review these closures at their upcoming meetings, in particular April 7th and April 21st. As you all know, things are happening.
I will attempt to pick up with the briefing. Can everybody hear me? Bob, can you hear me?
I can, John.
Okay. So we had some questions during the public comments about the closures. So let me just repeat that. Through the month of April, we're looking to close, continue to keep City Hall closed, even though workers will be working either telecommuting or a few of them inside of City Hall. The beaches, beach parks, trailheads, athletic fields, trolleys will all be closed or not running through the month of April. We also had a question about boards, commissions, and committees. They are also suspended through the month of April. And then we had talked a little bit about the COVID positives, the number 22, and how to interpret that. I think that was heard by most people, so I won't cover that again. But some additional things that have been happening as of today.
Board members, anything that that could show us that you are actually continuing to go on to this this with some fervor to get it done?
Yes. So I've, like, for Ruby's Restaurant, I went by Ruby's Restaurant. Some of the stuff that is going to be coming up, obviously now not on April 23rd, but even later. I have gone by some of those properties, like the one on Bonita Way, Ruby. There's one on Alta Vista as well. So yeah, I have been keeping up with those and reviewing them, as well as I pre-read the guidelines, the DRB guidelines. Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Hello?
So, Jessica, we can hear you. There's a little background.
Yeah, that's not me. Somebody else is doing well done.
Okay, somebody has their TV on in the background again. Please mute your mic. Gavin, can you mute everybody except for Jessica and the council?
I will try to do that. Yes. I'm trying to.
Okay, it sounds like we have Jessica back. Sorry about the interruption.
Oh, that's okay.
Can I make a quick suggestion to anybody that's participating in this? If you want to watch it on TV, that's fine, but turn the volume to zero so you can watch it. But there's a lag time between when we're speaking and when it comes up on the sound on the TV. So if you turn your TV volume down to zero, you won't have this background noise.
And just so everybody knows, there's not really much to see. We're not going to be doing any PowerPoint presentations or showing any pictures on the TV, so you're just going to be looking at the few people that are in the council chambers. My suggestion is that you turn the TV off and just listen to the call.
Okay. Any other questions for Jessica from anybody?
I have a question. This is Tony. Okay. Tony, the last time there was a realtor on design review was Lorraine Mullencrest, and when she came forward to the microphone, she was chastised as a realtor, and it was implied that she could not have take neutral positions, that she had a relationship with the architects, and it kind of really created an image of a problem for any realtor to be on DR because of a conflict. I'd like to hear you respond to that criticism that council member Blake had.
That's not true. I didn't say that.
The gem of the situation.
Go ahead, Jessica.
The beauty of this situation for me is because I've only been in Laguna for 4 years and I've been practicing real estate mostly in Los Angeles. I've only recently got into practicing real estate here. I have zero relationships with any local tradespeople. So that's not an issue. Okay.
I'd like to correct that for the record. I said that Lorraine Mullencrest had an issue because she dealt in small cottages, drew small cottages, and was on the design review and used her position to game the system. Thank you.
Any other questions for Jessica? Okay. Thanks, Jessica. Is Karen Luisi on the line? Gavin?
I am going to see if she's one of the callers that just
she has. In. She has the number, so okay. She's trying to call in. I did speak with her.
Let me see.
All right, we'll go to then we'll go to Mike Sweeney, who is on the line.
I am on the phone. Oh my God!
Oh, there's Karen.
Okay.
Oh,
there you are, Karen.
Okay,
we
hold on.
Hear you until a minute ago.
Okay, sorry. I'm just I have her as caller 14, so I'll correct that.
Okay,
Karen.
So
Karen,
we're
going
through one at a time, and if any of the council members have questions, we just finished with Jessica. You're next, Karen, and then we'll finish up with Mike Sweeney. Council, any questions of Karen?
I'd like to ask if she has a statement. Yeah, I do. One of the things that I wanted to point out is that moving forward, I am a, I think that politics should involve additions and multiplications, and that it really shouldn't be about subtractions and divisions. I think that it's my opinion that it sounds like there's contention as far as the design review guidelines, but as board members, when we go up there, the design review guidelines and the current building codes are what we have to use in applying it to designs that are presented to us residentially. Please keep in mind that 99% of what design review does is in the residential area. More of the business and commercial real estate is dealt with at the planning commission. But one of the things that's interesting is if you want us to do consider other things besides the design review guidelines and the building codes, what you need to do is you kind of need to go back and change the design review guidelines as a council to what you feel is more appropriate or what is more acceptable today's standards, and then the design review board can follow. It's kind of like I'm hearing a sense of the cart before the horse. So as my membership on the board has been, I strictly adhere to those criteria. I try to be consistent in the application. I try to keep it equal, no matter who the applicant is or the concerned neighbor. And that is one of the things that I have prided myself on.
Okay. Well, thank you, Karen, for that.
Thank you.
Other questions of Karen from anyone, any council member? Okay. Thank you, Karen. We'll go on to Mike Sweeney. Mike's a new applicant, not one that we had a chance to interview before. I will open it up to council members for questions of Mike. I have a question that, Mike, would you please, you and I had a little bit of an opportunity to speak. Would you please just give a quick overview of your background and reason for wanting to be on the DRB?
Sure. Thank you for this opportunity. I am a licensed landscape architect here in the state of California and have been for over 30 years. And also I'm a principal of one of the landscape architectural firms located here in Orange County. But my primary role has been the lead landscape architect for Rancho Mission Viejo Company for over 30 years. And as part of that, have been involved in the development of design guidelines, all review processes, and feedbacks to not only developers, but homeowners as well. So I have a very extensive background in this. I have not been involved with the city, but I am a resident and have been for over 15 years. Primarily, my interest is because I just finished a two-year process myself on my own home through landscape. And though I found it a very good process, we didn't really have any challenges. I saw some things that maybe could be worked through. I hope that maybe I can bring some ideas to the group. But as I shared with Bob earlier today, I've been involved a lot with doing plan review through technology and the possibility of being able to maybe bring that to the city as well, or at least some ideas on that, to maybe expedite the process. But I also would like to reach out in a way to help applicants clearly understand what's expected. I think that's probably the biggest frustration as I've stood and waited down at the city that I hear over the counter constantly is, and not necessarily fault by the city, but just a way to clearly help people understand. And I've been challenged with this in my career and have developed workshops with homeowners and such to do just that.
Okay, thank you for that, Mike. Any other questions of Mike? Okay. Well, normally, counsel, first of all, thank you to all three applicants. Normally, of course, the city clerk hands us out ballots, and we mark them. We can't do that tonight. So what I'm going to do is, and we'll just go down the list of council members and just ask you to speak or announce who you'd like to cast your vote for. And I'll start with Councilmember Kemp.
You just want me to say who I'm voting for?
Please.
Jessica Gannon.
Okay. Councilmember Blake?
Jessica Gannon.
Okay. Councilmember Eisman?
Michael Sweeney.
Mayor Pro Tem Dictorow?
Jessica Gannon.
Okay. And my vote would be for Michael Sweeney, so that Jessica Gannon has three votes.
Correct.
And she will be the new design review board member. So, again, thanks to all three of our applicants. Jessica, welcome aboard. And once the DRB is back in session, I mean, staff will coordinate with you in terms of getting up to, oriented. But thank you all three. And we'll go on to our next item at this point. Okay, that'll take us then, Council, to the consent calendar. And what we do here normally, of course, is give each council member an opportunity to pull any item on the agenda, on the consent item. We've got 10 items here tonight, items 2 through 10. I think I know we had a public comment that now we can't participate on that way, or we can't allow participation that way, but I will ask that we pull item 9 so that we can go through some feedback we had on that. Any other items? Okay. Then,
Mayor Whelan, there was a comment also on item 8 we received.
Well, I think what we've got here, what I was going to have Lizette do is not that we want to pull them, but I think we had a specific request to pull item 9. Did we have a request to pull item 8? I don't think so.
No, I didn't. I had a request to pull item 9.
Right.
I think we received information from the public, that letter from the public.
Yeah,
on
so
this.
what I'm going to do on that, Tony, is...
I was going to suggest the graphics in here are really interesting, and hopefully at a future meeting, this could be something that could be explained well to the public, because this involves so much of our residents. Can we push this forward to the next meeting and actually have the graphics as part of the presentation for those watching television or even on their computer?
Well, Tony, this is John. People can view the graphics online through the city website. If we push it forward, it's going to be May or June, and they're because we've got other important items we need to address in April. There's also, this is part of a quarterly report, so we'll be back in a few months. Does that help address some of the concerns?
I think that this is so significant. I mean, quarterly or whatever. But, I think it probably is. Are there things here that are time sensitive?
Just a stall.
I think this was just the
update.
This was just a second quarterly update, and then the only other direction was to have the staff return with a third update in June.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Tony.
Then that's fine.
Okay. All right, then, Council, we received some limited, but a couple of input on a couple of these items. I think all the council members had an opportunity to look at those and review them. So if there are no questions at this point, I'd ask for a motion on the consent calendar.
I'll move approval of consent calendar items 2 through 8 and 10.
Second.
Is there a second? All right. Lizette, could you do a roll call, please?
Yes. It was moved by Council Mayor Pro Tem Dictorio, seconded by Councilmember Blake. Councilmember Blake?
Aye. Here.
Councilmember Eisman?
Yes.
Councilmember Kemp?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Dictorio?
Yes.
And Mayor Whalen?
Yes.
5-0 to approve consent items 2 through 8 and 10.
Okay, and now item 9, which is the summer parking management plan. There was one request from the member of the public that this item be pulled and discussed, and she had a comment. This is from Michelle Monda. Lizette, could you summarize that public comment that we had?
Yeah, she had three comments and suggestions. All 200 standard and 200 premier permits last year sold out in 2 hours. Please give priority and a special advance notice to the Sawdust Artists. The Sawdust Festival is their lifeblood, and for many, their major source of income. Or better yet, I would like to see that any Sawdust artist who wants to purchase one be able to get one. During the Sawdust Festival, this is item 2, I would like residents to be able to park in front of it or on the Canyon Road with their shopper's permit. Sawdust is our festival, our artists, our friends, who we want to support as much as we can. City Council decided to void our passes at that time. City Council can change that. I would suggest that shopper's passes be valid for only 3 hours, not the 10 hours that is allowed at the space. Have it valid with a sign in the car that states what time you parked, or have parking patrol mark the tires when they check the meters. And number 3, this is most important suggestion. Artists unloading their goods in front of the sawdust must feed the meters. Yes, there is supposed to be a guard at the front gate for unloading. Artists can park in the fire lane in front if there is a guard. They must leave their keys in the car when they take their goods inside. Guard is rarely there, so the artists have no choice but to pay to park to upload their goods. My suggestion is to allow artists to park for free until 10 a.m. when the sawdust opens and spaces are needed. And she said, have an artist create a placard distributed to all artists that can be put in the windshield of the car, valid only until 10 a.m. that allows the artist to park for free. We must support our artists. I'm done.
Okay, thank you. So we had that comment. Sheree, this is your item. Do you have anything you want to add in response to that input?
Sure. I have also on the call Michael Litchie, who's our Deputy Public Works Director in charge of public and transit. I can give you an overview of the parking passes, and Michael can help me if I mess up on any of the numbers. But we basically sell about 400 parking passes to our three festivals. And they go on sale early in the morning, and we notify all the festivals that they go on sale. And it's on a first-come, first-served, you know, basis. For example, last year we were sold out within the first hour because there's such a high demand for them. So we do notify the Sawdust and also the Laguna Playhouse and the Festival of the Arts. We can, you know, as far as one of the first question was, can we make sure we notify the artist groups? And we can definitely work with the Sawdust to make sure they get the information quickly to the artists so they can show up and purchase the passes. She also recommended that we increase the number of permits, and we really don't have the parking capacity to sell more than the 400 that we are selling. Her second question was regarding the shopper's permit. And, I mean, that's been a council policy that, you know, the residential shopper's permit are not valid during the summer months in the parking lots on Laguna Canyon Road and also on the meter zone. in front of the Sawdust Festival. Her third suggestion was regarding the loading and unloading. We can work with the Sawdust to see if there's a better location for loading and unloading. The security guard that she mentioned is hired by the Sawdust Festival and not by the city. But we can definitely, you know, work with the festival to see what we can do to make sure that the artists have significant amount of time for loading and unloading in the morning. So, Mayor, those are my responses, but Michael is on the line if you like more detail.
Are those permits to park at Act 5 for free? Is that it? $20 and then they can park at Act 5? Or where are these 400 parking places?
So there's two types of permits. 200 of them I'll call the premier passes, and 200 are called the standard permits. Michael, can you add on about where people can park that have the passes?
Sure. Good evening, Mayor Whelan. Council members, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. So yeah, as Sheree mentioned, there are 200 of each of these types of passes. There's what we call a standard pass, which allows parking Act 5 or the LCAD parking lots, and that's priced at $20 for the season, and the price of that pass has remained the same for many years. And then a few years back, a second pass, which we call the Premier Pass, was introduced. It also allows parking at Act 5 and LCAD, but in addition allows you to park at the Boys and Girls Club, where we've been providing valet parking in the summer, or at the Suzy Q. And that pass is priced at $30.
So are these passes, these are passes available to the general public as well as the festivals?
No, they're only available to the Playhouse, the festival, the Sawdust Festival, and the Festival of the Arts.
Yeah, because it seems to me that, and I remember some concern about this last year, somebody bought a, I think it was the festival, bought a bulk number. You know, it would seem to me it would make more sense for staff to talk to the three organizations and figure out the best way to divide those up, at least on an initial basis. And if they don't end up buying them, then they can go back into the general pool. I mean, there's 140 artists at the Festival of the Arts. I don't know how many there are at the Sawdust. And then I don't know what the Playhouse demand has been, but you know, just a free for all where somebody who gets there first and buys, you know, 250 or 300 of them doesn't seem like a good approach to me.
Yeah. Well, last year, Mayor, I give you the numbers. Last year, 119 standard passes were sold to the Festival of the Arts. Sawdust purchased 50. It was a combination of a standard and premier. And the Playhouse had 65. So it was a pretty good combination.
Distribution.
Yeah. Based on the number of artists that we have at each one of the location. But if you like us to put a limit on it, we can, you know, we can look at the ratio of the artists per location and maybe use that ratio and max the number of passes based on the ratio of the artists at each location.
Well, it just sounds to me like there's enough spots then for all the artists. I would say get with the organizations and, you know, work with them in advance and figure out how to divide up the 400. And then if they're, like I say, if the demand is less than 400 in the aggregate, which sounds like maybe it is based on what you just said, then, you know, those can go to the general public, I guess, at that point, or into the pool, wherever they go.
We can work with, after our meeting tonight, once you approve our parking management plan, we have a festival coordination meeting, which Councilmember Eisman is a member of, with all the festivals. So we can discuss this with them and work with the three locations to see if we can come with a, you know, to make sure that we have enough passes for all the artists.
Okay.
Yeah, I have some questions that are may take a little time, and I appreciate it if we could focus on this for a while. Under the number 9 recommendations on 2,
authorize the city manager to negotiate agreement with festival parking places, Suzy Q, and so forth. And five, festival parking. Now, the Art Affair is mentioned in five. Is the Art Affair still in effect, or is that just a typo? I'm on page four of the our major agenda packet with the recommendations.
Well, it's still, is your question is about Art Affair? That should have been their new name.
Well, it's 777. Is it
right?
A, is
but
it
it's
for the
same.
Art?
Yes,
it,
they
it,
still
it,
have
does
the
it have
art.
A different use?
During the summer, they still have the art, the artist and the art exhibits at 777.
Okay. I was under the impression that it had changed a lot. I started adding up the number of parking places that the Festival of the Arts has. And they don't just have parking places. They have, like, the best parking places for the summer. And we also, when we grant parking at the Suzy Q, I think there's a minor change that we could make. And that is we have businesses that we've been trying to please let us park there. Bob's worked on this in the past. Got the community clinic. We have the Assistance League, which we've yet to convince them that they should allow parking there when they realize how much money they could make, and so on. I would like to see us either put, if they're going to say, for example, if the community clinic says, I don't want to park just anybody there. I don't want the public there. And so then if we say, all right, then why don't you allow us to have designated festival artists park there? The same thing at the Assistance League. So they know who's parking there and they'd be more comfortable having that relationship rather than just have it to be public parking. And then make the Suzy Q public parking, which would be very easy to monitor and police because it would just take one person there. And these spaces are very valuable. And it seems to me, and the other thing that is something that's been discussed for quite a while, is we did lose over 100 parking places at the village entrance. And so if we look at what we're going to park there, I think we need to look at it carefully and see if we can't squeeze parking into other areas so that there's something left over for the people who come to Laguna to park that aren't necessarily going to the festival. And there are places at the lumberyard where the downtown businesses could, you know, park there to open up parking in front of their stores. I just see a need to kind of massage this to make it fairer.
Well, we can definitely look at some other privately owned locations and see if they're willing to lease their parking spaces to the festival. We do have a lease agreement with the festival, and based on the number of people that they have that are in the pageant of the master and also all the art exhibitor, they do have a significant parking need. So we work closely with them to see what we can do to provide the number of parking that they need for their cast as well as for their exhibitors. But we can definitely
parking,
go ahead.
If they could use the parking places, if they could use the parking places along Laguna Canyon Road, those metered 12-hour parking, if they would start by using those and filling those, then the premier parking places across the street would create revenue for us and make it convenient for visitors to park.
You know, Council, I do note that recommendation number five is to talk about a summer festival agreements with Art Affair, now 777 Festival of the Arts and Sadas Festival. Is it part of the committee, the Summer Festival Coordinating Committee could take up some of these issues and try to figure out how to dole out the parking permits and things?
Yeah, we can definitely do that, John, and we can discuss, sit down with the festival. We already have a letter from the Festival of the Art requesting these parking spaces. So we can sit down with them and with the Festival Coordination Committee and find out the best locations for them.
It looks like the festival gets 85 parking places. It looks like it is in the village entrance.
That was before we lost 100
parking places. I think we have to, take a fresh look at some of these things before we say yes.
Well, some of those spaces are required in the lease with the Festival of Arts, and then I think they've negotiated to get others over time. So I think it would be best
for lease. Does the lease say where the parking places are, or they just have parking places?
I believe it's 65, isn't it?
The lease requires us 65 spaces in the city's employee parking lot.
And then I think they've negotiated to purchase another 20 over the years.
Right. And
John, you direct
last year. This is AQ.
If they're taking city employee parking, do we then direct our city employees to park somewhere else?
No, they take the city employee parking after the employees leave work. It's a kind of a shared parking arrangement.
They have 4 days, they have longer days, so they're not gone necessarily at the same time. I don't know. Maybe it'll all work out. But I think we haven't thought about the changes that have happened, and we're kind of doing the same thing that we've done in the past. And parking is always everyone's number one thing, and this deserves I think it deserves to be massaged and improved. But and to have the committee meet after this is approved is kind of limits what the committee, Festival Coordinating Committee, can do and recommend.
Well, I think the Festival Coordinating Committee can meet and discuss the issuance of the permits that we talked about to the artists and see if there's a rational way to address it. I think last year there were too many that were bought up by a limited number of organizations. I don't think it probably was fair, and I do think we need to revisit it. So I would give everybody the opportunity to try and sit down and have a dialogue.
Okay, and before we commit to having cars parked at the Susie Q, maybe we could find other places for those committed spaces to be, those cars to be parked elsewhere.
We can try. We've been trying for 3 years to get private owners to let us lease their spaces, but we can try again.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions on this item? Or
I have a public comment to read on it, Mayor. This is Lizette. I have a public comment to read on this item when you're ready.
Okay, we're ready.
This is from Mark and Sharon Fudge, and they said, I believe the city would need to approve a coastal development permit that would be appealable to the commission for this project to be permitted. Please continue this item and return with a properly noticed CDP for the project.
Okay. Any other comments? All right. I'm going to ask the city attorney whether he is prepared to respond to that or whether he thinks we need to continue it a week.
Well, I might be able to. Oh, Sheree, go ahead. If not, I think staff can weigh in on this a little bit, Mayor Whalen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the only part of the parking management plan that the Coastal Commission has told us they like to review is the setting of the parking rates. And we have issued a coastal development permit for our multi-year, multi-phase parking rate. And the Planning Commission issued that coastal development permit. It was appealed to the Coastal Commission. We were scheduled to be heard in April. And because of the COVID-19 situation, the Coastal Commission has canceled their meeting, and we no longer are going to be heard at that meeting. We had met with the Coastal Commission executive staff, and they were in support of what we had proposed for our parking rate, which was increasing our rate from last year by 25%. And right now, because of the situation that we are in and all the financial impacts, we are actually recommending not to increase our parking rate and keep it the same as last summer. So I believe that, you know, we are consistent with the Coastal Commission direction. And since we are not even increasing our parking rate, once our CDP is appeal is heard, which is now scheduled for May, we are in full compliance before we actually implement our summer parking rate.
So, in other words, you're saying that what's now pending at before the Coastal Commission is a CDP that speaks to the parking rates, which is the only part of this item 9 that would require a CDP?
Yes.
Okay. Phil, anything to add on that?
No, nothing to add.
So I'm going to take that as advice from staff and our city attorney that we don't need a CDP to take this action tonight, council, unless anyone has a different observation. So, all right, if there's no further questions or comments, could I have a motion for the recommended action with the added direction that the festival, what's the name of that committee?
Festival Coordination Committee.
The Festival Coordination Committee coordinate with the city manager regarding the implementation for this for the specific agreements with the art festivals.
Great.
I'll make that motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Hey, Rosette, roll call, please.
Yes, moved by Mayor Whalen, seconded by Councilmember Kemp. Councilmember Blake?
Aye.
Councilmember Eisman?
Yes.
Councilmember Kemp?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Dictorow?
Aye.
Mayor Whalen, 5-0.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. That'll take us then to our regular order, item 11.
Mayor Whalen, can I interject just for a moment? I've got a number of staff that are on the line, and if they are not involved in the next two items, one being the Laguna Beach Tourism Marketing District and the other one being the discussion of residential commercial landlords and rent and eviction orders, that those staff members are welcome to drop off the line, and because we got a lot of work to do tomorrow. So I want to thank them for participating thus far this evening. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay. So I'll take us to item 11, receive public input regarding the proposed Laguna Beach Tourism Marketing District. This is, as I understand it, the time for us to receive any public input, and then the item will be back to us again on April 21st. So I'll first ask the city clerk whether we have any. I know we have two comments that were received prior to the meeting that we'll go through in a minute. Do you have any additional comments on this item 11?
No, just one from John Thomas, and the one that you have also from Deborah Loughton.
Yeah, I actually have one from John and one from Deborah Lott, John Thomas, and one from Deborah Lawton. So,
John Thomas asks,
this is the time to receive public input on this. Could you just please summarize those two communications?
Yes, John Thomas said, if the council agrees with LBTMD proposal, I suggest city reserve the right to be able to initiate at least annually, if it chooses to do so, review of the agreement as proposed. The Civitas plan explains on page 3, once per year, beginning on the anniversary of LBTMD formation, there's a 30-day period in which owners paying 50% or more of the assessment may protest and initiate a city council hearing on LBTMD termination. It does not seem to provide a mechanism for the city to initiate a hearing. I suggest the city reserve the right to do so and to set the items for discussion. Number 2, please clearly explain the differences between the current BID and the proposed TMD, in addition to the change from yearly renewal to a 5-year lock-in. The Civitas website seems to suggest that TMDs and BIDs are the same by saying tourism improvement districts go by many names, tourism business improvement district, tourism marketing district, even hotel marketing district. A, is the law attached to the staff the same law that enables both BIDs and TMDs? From earlier reading, it's number 3, I'm under the impression that TBID funds can be used for many uses as long as they enhance the tourist experience. As I understand it, this has been interpreted to include additional public safety personnel, additional maintenance, and other similar uses. If the LBTMD choose to do so, would these be uses allowed under the law? And the number four, language in the Civitas proposal regarding exemptions from Proposition 26 on page 10 explains Proposition 26 requires that assessment funds be extended on a specific benefit conferred on privilege granted directly to the mayor, to the payer, that is not provided to those not charged and which does not exceed the reasonable cost to the local government of conferring the benefit or granting the privilege. The section goes on to explain further. Last part is A, does this mean that funds from the LBTMD cannot be used by Visit Laguna to promote restaurants in Laguna, cannot be used to promote Laguna in general as a tourist destination, but rather must be used only to promote those being charged. That is the hotels only, question mark. And that was John Thomas, his comment. And then Deborah Lawton said, given the uncertainty and fiscal perils due to COVID-19, as well as the constraints on residents to attend or comment on city council agenda items, I would encourage Visit Laguna Beach to limit the Business Improvement District to its existing one-year term rather than extending it to a five-year period. Annual reviews make sound fiscal sense. That's it for me.
Okay, thank you. Council, any questions? I mean, this is really just a time for us to receive the public input.
Mayor, I have Ashley Johnson on the call with us, so if you like her to respond to John Thomas's question, she's prepared to do so, or if you have any other questions for her as well, she's on the line with us.
I have a question on page 7, in the second to last paragraph. Mm-hmm. Says, however, should the budget allocations require adjustment, the VLB board and city may recommend adjustments to the budget allocations between the categories by no more than 15% of the total budget and seek final approval from the city of Laguna Beach. So does that come to the council or is that?
Yes. City?
Okay.
Yeah, This was a recommendation, actually. Originally, the draft report only recommended that Visit Laguna Beach would be the only entity that could recommend adjustments. But I worked with Visit Laguna Beach and their consultant, and we added the board and the city. So either organization can recommend adjustments. And every year we provide you an annual report that Visit Laguna Beach will provide. And during that time, the city council can, based on the recommendations of the board or the city, can make adjustments at the city council meeting.
Okay. Will this new...
And I'm sorry, Sean, you wanted to jump in here? Sean Porschel is on the call as well.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. The other question that was asked from the public was regarding the proposed uses. Under the establishment of the Tourist Marketing District, there are no proposed changes to the distribution of the collected funds or the types of activities or services undertaken currently by Visit Laguna Beach, the Arts Commission, Laguna Art Museum, the College, the Playhouse, and the 18 additional nonprofit arts organizations who receive funds. The funds encourage activities that benefit the hotels through the guests' experiences. So I just wanted to clarify that as that had also been brought up.
Okay, thanks, Sean.
All right. Tony.
That wasn't me.
Sorry, that was me. This is Ashley Johnson with Visit Laguna. I was just going to chime in as well. I was looking over John Thomas's comments, and I just wanted to reiterate that an annual report in the past has been presented each year, which focuses on our past efforts and successes. We're moving forward. Our annual report will actually be a plan of work outlining what is to come for the upcoming year that will be presented to City Council each year for feedback and input. So we will make sure, obviously, that we work closely with you all on that. And then I also just wanted to add some clarity as I read today that this conversion was referred to as a proposal. So I just wanted to provide some background. This conversion has been a year-long plus process, with tonight's meeting and the April 21st meeting being the last two steps. And we at Visit Laguna Beach entered into this commitment with the support of our board of directors, hoteliers, and the hospitality community. And we've really done our due diligence over the last year in meeting with city staff, council members, hotel GMs and owners, et cetera, just to ensure that everyone knows what the conversion entails and to educate them on that. We have also had a steering committee lead this effort that included hoteliers large and small, the cultural arts manager, and the assistant city manager. We wanted to ensure we had insight from a city perspective and got some great feedback. In addition to that, we've also secured petitions from the hotels in support of the endeavor. I know there was a question at the last meeting, which I was not in attendance at. The petitions received did come from the three largest properties and contributors, but we also received more than 15 from the smaller properties in town. So there was a really nice cross section there. And obviously I realize it's not ideal to have this meeting via GoToMeeting and not in person tonight, but obviously that could not have been planned. I think it's important though to point out that today's COVID situation, while evolving daily, underscores the need to have adequate funding in place as well as a long-term vision come recovery time, so we can really differentiate ourselves from other destinations. We're going to have a lot of competition out there and a lot of other destinations trying to steal market share, and I think we have to ensure that we as a destination stand out and are top of mind for high-end clientele so we can recover successfully.
Okay, thank you, Ashley. Any other questions for Ashley? Any other comments on this item? I don't think there's any action for us to take other than receive the public input tonight, and then it'll be back on the 21st of April.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Then that'll take us to item 12, an item that I asked to have placed on the agenda. There are obviously, it's fast moving in this area regarding what to do with evictions, of both residential and commercial, what to do with, you know, rent deferrals. I think that, you know, since this item was written, the governor has come out with a statewide executive order with respect to residential properties prohibiting any evictions between now and May 31st based on an inability to pay related to COVID-19. I mean, there has been some concern in public comment that, you know, that not give an otherwise poor tenant an opportunity to, you know, take advantage of the COVID-19, and his order specifically limited to, and you've got to tie your non-payment to COVID-19 events. The governor's order does not address commercial. That's up to still a local decision as to by individual city or jurisdiction. I think Sheree is going to be able to comment here in a minute on what some of the other local cities have been doing in that regard. My bottom line take on this and recommendation to the council tonight would be, I think we should proceed with a letter to landlords, both you know, residential and commercial, requesting them to you know, work with to defer rents to the extent they can, and work with tenants, you know, and both on the commercial side not to evict, and to look at some kind of, you know, work with their tenants for deferral of rents. That's just a, you know, there's no moral force of law behind that. That's just a recommendation from the city to do that. And then I think because this is will be more deserving of public input, and, you know, we want to be transparent with the public and tenants, landlords generally, you know, we had discussed whether or not we should bring an urgency ordinance tonight for consideration by the council, but decided that that should be placed on the April 7 agenda for council members and the public to have, you know, more opportunity to think about and react to. So I'll stop there, and then maybe just ask Sheree to summarize what she's seen so far. And Phil did a lot of work on this as well from other cities. And then we can open it up, I think, to council comments and input.
Great. Thank you, Mayor. So I looked at 9 cities, 6 of them in Orange County, a couple in L.A., and one in Northern California. The 6 cities in Orange County are Anaheim, Buena Park, Costa Mesa, Fullerton, Santa Ana, and Westminster. These 6 cities actually passed urgency ordinances before the governor's order came out. These 6 ordinances specifically prohibits landlords, both commercial and residential, from pursuing evictions. In addition, in all 6 ordinances, it allows for a rent repayment schedule. Each city is a little bit different than others, but overall, each city ordinance allows a tenant to repay the rent somewhere between 120 to 180 days after the expiration of the governor's or the local urgency ordinance. Now, as the mayor mentioned, that now that the governor has passed the residential moratorium on evictions, the governor's order still is silent on a rent repayment schedule, and it doesn't include any type of a commercial moratorium or a rent repayment schedule regarding to the commercial tenants. There's a couple of other cities in Orange County, like City of Irvine, that has passed the ordinance that doesn't prohibit a landlord from charging rent or eviction, but it strongly encourages the landlord to not pursue evictions and defer rent for a period of time. So I think that summarizes on what we have found. I don't know, Phil, if you have anything else you want to add to that.
No, we've been working closely together, members of the council, and I think Sheree did a great job summarizing what we have found to date. And if anything, it just underscores the diversity of approaches that local agencies have taken, and we would be looking to you for direction as to what steps you would have the council consider.
Okay. Thanks, Sheree and Phil. I'd like to open up to, council members for input, thoughts.
Yeah. Do you know what concerns me? The only thing that concerns me is that, for landlords, so under the governor's emergency order, how are people actually, mechanically, how are landlords actually going to get their money back at some point? Like, if someone decides not to pay their rent, and let's say they claim it's a COVID related, and it is, but how is or isn't, but how are these people going to get their money back? They have to go through the courts, or, I can imagine the courts being inundated with this stuff.
Yeah, the short answer, responsibilities is between landlords and their tenants, unless there's some other means of dispute resolution in their lease, would have to be directed to the courts.
That's why the local ordinances that have passed at least have a rent repayment schedule that commits the tenant into repaying the deferred rent after a period of time, versus the governor's order is completely silent on that.
This is Steve. I'd like to make a couple of comments on this. First of all, Bob, thanks for bringing this forward. I agree with the sentiment. And we have to divide this into 2 separate things, evictions versus deferment of rent. The eviction issue is kind of already settled by the governor. I have concerns about the deferment of rent, not as a blanket statement, but there's an assumption that's being built into, not so much what you've brought forward, Bob, but what the governor has been talking about. There's an assumption built in that tenants are in a worse financial position than landlords. Now, I'm sure that that's true most of the time, but I know of many cases in Laguna Beach where the landlord absolutely depends on getting this monthly cash flow in order to pay their bills, in order to pay for their mortgages, in order to pay for a roof over their heads and food on their table. And I just want us to be careful in how we phrase this,
that we're not telling landlords to give a carte blanche to deferment of rent. I think it should be that we encourage them to work with their tenants to work out something that's mutually beneficial to both. Because I'm concerned that there are people that do game the system, and it may not be a very large number, but I don't want a letter going out that makes it look like we're giving a blanket approval of deferment of rent. And I noticed that the way this is structured, it's the head of the emergency committee that would be sending this. I would think that, Bob, that you'd want to be a signatory on the letter as well, and that perhaps we all get a chance to see the letter before it goes out. I know time is a factor, but I'm concerned about just giving general thoughts and then something specific going out that may not represent what the council wanted.
Right. I think those are fair comments.
Steve, I want to comment on your comments. I agree with a number of things you said. We have cases where there may be police involvement for an eviction, but there is also, they could call in a virus on one column. But I think that police eviction would trump any other consideration because this isn't about that. The police eviction would be for conduct. And also, you know, if people are gaming the system and they have an abundance of cash and they're just choosing not to pay, I don't know how that can be proven except for maybe a thing that was signed by the realtor that placed it, you know, that kind of thing where you've got that history. So I it's not going to be easy to write it, but I think we need to write it to be fair. We definitely don't want people kicked out of their homes for lack of payment, but we don't want the system gamed.
I totally agree with what you said, Tony. And again, I'm very sympathetic to those who are having cash flow and maybe even worse than cash flow problems as a result of this. But I think it can happen on both sides of the equation. And I do want the letter to be clear that there has to be a cause and effect involving the COVID-19 in order for this to apply.
No, I agree with that, too. I mean, yeah. I want us to be helpful to people, but I don't want it to turn into just an unmitigated mess. If we even have the timetable.
I envision even a committee, a city committee, where they just come in and, you know, and we'd be the third person to sign on it. You know, it could be involving that.
So the urgency ordinances that are passed by the other cities specifically include clauses as to how the tenants has to prove to the landlord and submit paperwork that documents how their ability to earn income has been impacted by COVID-19.
These are some good comments and good observations, and I understand Steve's point to want to see the letter. I think it's fair that council should see the letter. So, you know, as I mentioned in my comments, we were looking at an April 7, you know, date to bring a potential ordinance to council anyway. Why don't we just come back with the draft of a letter and a suggested ordinance for the public and council to react to, and then we'll have a fuller discussion of this on April 7. I don't think in the meantime, and nobody's going to be evicted anyway. The courts are closed, and there's, you know, that's not going to happen. So,
yeah, I like what you just said, Bob. I agree with it. And by the way, please, I'm sure you know this. My comments were not meant to be in any way critical of your bringing this forward. I'm happy you did. Somebody, you know, it was necessary that this be brought forward. I just think it's a very complex issue.
I think that's a good point, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay, good. Well, why don't we then, I don't know as though we need a vote on that. Why don't we just, we've given staff that direction. John and Sheree, is that okay?
Yeah, that would be great. We'll come back with a letter and a draft ordinance for council consideration.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, I think that brings us to the end of the agenda, unless there's anything else, John?
Well, just that we will have to get back to the council as to how we hold the meeting on April 7th as to whether there are some additional features to this call-in meeting technology that we can put in place to prevent what happened tonight from happening again. If not, we'll have to run it similar to how we did the latter part of this meeting. But we're going to keep looking into it and keep trying, because I have a feeling we're going to be in this same situation for a month or more. And so we will find a way to hold meetings with as much public input as we can.
John and Bob, I'm watching on television. I'm seeing all the spaces. I could envision that the five of us could be at the meeting and be properly spaced. And it would certainly take away this issue of muting and dropping calls and so forth. There would be another table. Sorry, Lizette, you'd get your own table probably. But I'm thinking that would be still a healthy distance. Should we put that on the table?
I'd really like to do that. I got to tell you, I really prefer to be at the council chambers. And, you know, communication is more than just the words we say. It's also body English and reading people's reactions. And there's just a better synergy when we're together than when we're calling in.
Well, council, it's up to you. We can accommodate that if you would like us to. The bigger issue is public, having whether or not the public is allowed in the chambers. And I believe under the governor's current directive, he's recommending that the public not be allowed. So the problem remains about how to get timely public comment. Having the council in the chambers would help. It would simplify the issues, but we still have to figure out how to get the public comment.
Okay.
I think there's a way to, and I don't know if Gavin's still on the line, but I think there's a way to set up the call so that people calling in can only call in by phone number. Gavin would have the ability to mute everybody, and there's no way that anybody could take over the screen again the way they did. So, Gavin, do you have any thoughts on this?
I'd have to look into it. I know when it goes through Zoom, you have a meeting ID, and if you go on their website and type in that meeting ID, you immediately activate your, or could activate the video on your computer screen for everyone else to see. Of course.
Okay, so we need more time to look into it, and if we can't do it, then we'll just have to run the meeting the way we did tonight. But I'm also willing to hire a professional operator if we need one to get this done. So Gavin and I will talk more about it, and Mayor will brief you on our thoughts.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, everybody. And again, members of the public, apologies for the interruptions we had tonight. As the city manager said, we'll work on that. So we are adjourned until our meeting of April 7, closed session at 4 o'clock, regular at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, thank Mayor you. Whalen, do I have consensus on the council that they want to be seated in person in the chambers on April 7th?
Yes.
Yes.
I heard Tony and
John, I think
Steve.
You should lay it out. I'm not 100% sure I'm comfortable with that, but you know,
okay.
I think people should make their own decision on that.
Okay, we'll lay it out so people can participate if they want to. That's all I need for now. Thank you, council.